So as a young paratrooper, I made my first jump off the ramp at the back of the aircraft as opposed to the way I'd been doing it, jumping out the side door. The jump master that day was a Green Beret Master Sergeant who did all the usual air safety checks, gave all the right commands, and I was expecting him to tell me when to jump and he would follow me out. That's the way I'd seen it done, the way I'd experienced it. But he didn't do that. He stood up, he looked at all of us waiting jumpers, and when the green light went on, he yelled, "Follow me!" And off the ramp he went. And I'm going to tell you right now, we would have followed him anywhere at that particular moment. It was inspirational. Listen, people will follow when a leader like my jump master stands up and says, "I see a way forward and I'm willing to go first and I'm willing to risk it, so follow me." So anyone can be appointed or elected to a leadership position, right? I mean, what does that really mean? You got the job, but do you know anything about leadership? Can you encourage, exhort, enable people to do things they might not otherwise have done? Well, like I said, anyone can luck into a position that by default makes them the leader. But to be an effective leader, one that people actually want to follow, you generally need two things. You need an actual plan, and you need the courage of your convictions. So those experienced with leadership know the old adage that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. There will always be times when leaders have to adapt or pivot to new opportunities or seize momentum. But whenever possible, though, a leader goes into an opportunity with a plan. But none of the plans and the policies matter. None of the rhetoric matters. None of the budgets and agenda items matter if the leader at the helm does not go into each one of these individual opportunities with the courage to back up his own convictions and then fight for them and make them happen. Look, we don't need or have time for public officials who look for the most expedient route, the easy road, the soft landing. And right now, I'll be honest with you, we're watching a Biden presidency right this very second that lacks both. There seems to be no plan, and we don't see true courage that comes from strong convictions. It's the absence of both things, the plan and the courageous conviction. And it leaves the Biden White House seeming hollow and feckless, to be honest. The kind of leader that people follow because of rank and not because he actually inspires us to want to follow him. So let's break it down. Let's take the two, planning and then courage of convictions. With regards to planning, in the private sector, I mean, a new business should have a full SWOT analysis, examining all the strengths, the weaknesses, the obstacles, and the threats for his business case. When an attorney goes into court, they need a litigation plan with a desired end state that comes from researching their position under the law and appearing before the judge to put it all in place. In the military, every young Army officer is taught to write and disseminate a 5-paragraph operations order clearly outlining the mission, the enemy situation, the commander's intent, and the plan should specify all the subunit tasks, all the command and signal, all the key timelines. Look, true planning provides an orderly and cogent means of helping guide the leader's thoughts with an ultimate purpose clearly in mind. In the absence of a plan, missions go awry. Let's take a look at the Biden plan for just one segment of his job. I mean, we could look at education or energy or economy or military strength, any of those, but I don't see a plan for any of them. But let me just dissect one. Let's take foreign policy. And let's drill down even further. Let's dial in on one very key foreign policy situation, Ukraine. Okay, President Joe Biden gave a speech in Ukraine with the Premier of Poland a little over a year ago in a very tired and dispirited manner. He spoke to the NATO leaders saying that the U.S. is in it for as long as it takes. I mean, with his face sitting there on folded hands, he quietly urged the other members of NATO to just do your part to stop the Russians. Back at home, though, we can't see the end state because, to be clear, almost no one in the West wants Russia to win, right? Sovereign nations should not be allowed to just hop across a border and seize another country's land at whim. But what does "for as long as it takes" really mean? Is there a plan? Billions of U.S. tax dollars have been committed, but we don't know what the outcome is supposed to look like. Is there a true strategy? Is there a milestone, or better yet, a series of milestones? Who's in charge of the mission? One wonders if the Secretary of State is just negotiating anything or playing catch-up. I mean, has NATO really received any additional instructions? In the past, we've had presidents who elaborated on their foreign policy doctrine. We've had the Monroe Doctrine, the Bush Doctrine. We clearly defined Reagan foreign policy of peace through strength. There was the Trump philosophy of America first. But can anyone actually articulate a foreign policy position or a strategy or a doctrine to which the Biden administration can even attach its name? Is there a Biden plan or a Biden philosophy? If so, what is it? Not since the Marshall Plan in the wake of World War II have we poured as much into Europe as we are right now. But unlike the current state of Biden-led aid to Ukraine, the Marshall Plan actually had a name. It had a defined set of terms and an announced set of goals for all the world to see and actually believe in. So no, I don't see any true plan of any kind. No plan at all coming from the Biden administration. But even if we did, I mean, what measure of conviction does he carry? Do we see strength of character? Do we see the man who will stand in the gap? Is there a courage that comes from years of being in the arena? And I'll be honest, I submit to you that Joe Biden will say whatever is needed, cater to the whims of the polls, measure the winds of culture, and be the guy that's needed for whatever moment. He's had 5 decades, y'all, 50 years of enjoying rhetoric without responsibility. 50 years going to the podium saying whatever he wanted to say and then walking away and not having to own it. He has never led an organization, ever. Never had to cut a paycheck, never had to balance a budget, no business, no troops in battle, nothing. So it's no wonder he has no plan. But what about the courage of his convictions? Last year, I attended a dinner with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who delivered the keynote address. And as expected, DeSantis knocked it out of the park. Everything he said needs to be a study of, you know, leadership for executive branch leaders. DeSantis, he spoke on things like fiscal discipline and traditional values, taking care of our kids, pushing back on woke ideology. He talked about the southern border, the Constitution, cutting red tape, fighting good fights, ending bad fights, all that stuff. But the most important thing he said all evening was a statement that sounded like a national statesman, to be honest. He said, "You can be right on all the policies, but if you don't have the courage of your convictions, you will never beat the left." He said it unequivocally, because he meant it. Conservative candidates and politicians, please take note. The left does not care about your political futures. Radical leftists, they don't want to make the political debate go more smoothly. Far left progressives, they just want to burn the conservatives' political and cultural houses down so they could care less about whether or not conservative candidates and politicians want to offer them a compromise or avoid going on the record. It's not enough to have convictions. You have to also be willing to have courage to stand up when your convictions are being challenged. Ronald Reagan is somebody who had the courage of his convictions. He was regularly trounced on by the left. "What could a guy who was a movie star possibly know about leadership?" they said. "He starred in movies with monkeys." Well, never mind the fact that Reagan was on the record for years as an actual conservative. Never mind his successful run as the governor of California back when California actually elected conservative governors. Reagan stood in the face of extreme opposition in the wake of the Carter presidency. He faced the Cold War with the Soviet Union. He dealt with a broken economy at a time when American foreign policy was in the tank and political expediency was just the norm. But Reagan, he also had convictions, and he had the strength to do something with them no matter what the naysayers threw at him. One of the defining features of Ronald Reagan was his moral courage. I read one account of Reagan's legacy that said this about him. It's a long quote, but bear with me. It said, quote, "It takes tremendous moral courage to resist the overwhelming tide of opinion and the so-called expert wisdom and to say and do exactly the opposite. It cannot have been pleasant for Reagan to be denounced as an ignorant cowboy or an extremist, a warmonger, a fascist, or even worse, by people who thought themselves intellectually superior to him." It went on to say, "During Reagan's presidency, America enjoyed its longest period of sustained economic growth in the 20th century. And by the time he left office, the faith of Americans in the greatness of their country had been restored. He ended his days as the single most important American conservative figure of the last century." Not bad for an ignorant cowboy. But listen, that reputation, it did not happen because Reagan took a walk on the hard stuff. He believed it, he acted on it, and he stood up to defend it. And see, people can sense a fraud, but Reagan, he proved time and time again that his convictions were his guiding principles, and he was willing to stand for them. And the world was better because he did. There is something magical that takes place when a leader is willing to get out front and take his or her position and stake out their ground unequivocally. Naysayers will show up, but so will people who are dying for someone to actually lead them. A good leader, a leader who inspires others, a leader who people actually want to follow, will bring a plan and the courage of their convictions to bear. Not everybody has the gift of leadership. But those who do have an obligation to use that gift effectively. They have a duty to refuse to waffle, to decline to look for the easy way out. People will respond to a leader who says, with the courage of his convictions, I see a better way. I have a plan. Follow me. That's my philosophy.